Once again, we are here today in the Absolute Monastery at the round table, the monks' round table. And much discussion went on about my brother-in-law, Kiphart, who decided to move to another dimension yesterday. And the discussion was, do we move on purposely or do we move on accidentally? Do we make a choice? Well, people think that they die by accident, you know, in a car accident or something like that, or they die spontaneously, and that's true, they do. But nothing happens by chance. Always there's a cause put in motion. There's a cause put in motion for anything that happens, in our life. It doesn't matter what it may be, death, life, whatever, doesn't matter. Now, yesterday, while my brother-in-law was expiring, we had Jeff Provence and Alicia and Devin and Daniel visiting us. Now, Devin and Daniel are two of the most outstanding young men you could ever want to meet in your life. They monopolized the conversation. They monopolized the attention of the group. Everyone was listening to Devin and Daniel and were doing everything they could to amuse Devin and Daniel and tell them how wonderful they are. But of course, Devin and Daniel knew that. They just smiled in smiling repose as the people were getting accustomed to having two geniuses among them. Now, did Devin and Daniel create us as their audience yesterday? Yes, definitely. Did Devin and Daniel know what they were doing? Oh, quite likely. Devin and Daniel are not people who are doing things by mistake. What do you think, Kiranda? Do you think Devin and Daniel knew what they were doing?
Yes, they did.
Now, Ellen, what is the age of Devin and Daniel?
4 months.
4 months. And they were born 1 month premature?
6 weeks.
6 weeks premature. So they're 4 months out of the womb, and they should have stayed there for a month and a half. But they, so theoretically they're a month and a half old. And they are so advanced. They are so fantastic. Each has their own personality already. Each is expressing themselves in their beautiful way already. And they, you could not help but accept and love them. Heinz held it in his arms, I believe, at one point, and his mess came up the back. And Heinz said, "Buff, this is no problem, you know." And so Heinz said to Alicia, "You can go use my cell to change his diapers. My bed is down. You can put him on there and change him." And so Alicia went up there and changed him. And that was wonderful. And then came time for Devin to have a change. Meanwhile, Heinz went up and closed his bed because he was supposed to have his bed closed when he's not using it. Everything is supposed to, if you open it, close it. So he closed it, and then I said, "Well, how did you change, Alicia?" She said, "Oh, like I did at home. I put it on the floor." <You know>? On the carpet, it's very comfortable, you know. But you see, this is nothing by chance. Everything was done just the way it was, purposely and in a beautiful way. Now, those children were born 6 weeks early on purpose because they couldn't wait to get their eyes feasting on this wonderful world that they're living in. They couldn't wait to bring smiles and laughter to the hearts of their mother and father and their little sister. They couldn't wait, and their grandmother and their grandfather and their aunts and their uncles and the most precious people to them in the world, we here at the university, at God Unlimited, the Absolute Monastery. But it was true. We had a good time. Now, why did they choose to live? Their sister had been born as one girl. She didn't come in doubles. But they came as doubles. And Jeff is just beside himself. Because Jeff always more or less figured he would never have children. He'd love them, adopt them, he'd get them somehow, he'd never have them. And now he's just a floating crap table. They just come out constantly, Las Vegas talk, you know. And he's doing just beautiful. He is acting like a devoted father, but he's not a devoted father. He is a in love man. He's in love with those children. He's not doing things because that's what he's supposed to do as a father. He's not doing things because he's supposed to do it as a husband or as to help his wife out. He does it because he just madly loves those kids, and naturally. So nothing happens by chance. Those kids keep smiling, and Jeff keeps coming, and Alicia says, oh, I have no problem. She says, sometimes I fall asleep, and I wake up, and I realize they're feeding, you know, breastfeeding. And she says, they didn't mind that I was sleeping, you know. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, well, let's take this to the other spectrum, to the death spectrum when Kip passed. Kip had been taking care of May now for these many years that she has been ill, and he has been 24 hours on duty as her nurse. He would give her her insulin shots once or twice a day, whatever it called for. He'd give her all of the pills that the doctors have ordered for her. He'd take care of her. He'd get her up to go to the bathroom since she can't walk by herself anymore. And he would take care of her, and he would wipe her bottom, and he would do all these necessary things to make sure that she was comfortable and happy. And he would bathe her and take care of her in every possible way. Now, I do believe she was enjoying that. And so he had to leave to get out of the yoke that he put on him. So he went away. Now, he's not a bad person for doing that. He is just a normal person. He just says, I had enough. His body says, I had enough. His mind says, I had enough. His world, and he was ready to go. And so he went. Now, we could never say he was a bad man because his dedication was obvious and total. We could never say that his choosing to go was a bad thing, because that's just the way it is. And my sister, quite lastly, will soon follow, even though we always speak our word that she's whole and perfect. But she's got to make her decision. Now, is she going to go? She is devoted to Kip. She is had Kip on her, in her arms and around him constantly, 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 constantly for years now. And now he's gone. What is she going to do? Will her daughter suffice? No, her daughter has her life to live. So she'll go into a nursing home. And in a nursing home, will they take care of her around the clock? Will they hold her hand 24 hours? No. And so she will pine away, and she will end her day. But that's okay. That's perfectly okay. I love her, and I release her. But if I were holding on to her, I'd say, May, don't die. Get your act in order. Come on, shape up. You know, you could do it. And she could. But she doesn't want to. And I have to go by her decision for herself. And besides, which I could never require a person to do anything that I want them to do, I see her whole and perfect. I see Kip whole and perfect. I see Kip living eternally. In his eternally perfect, ideal spirit, mind, body. I see him forever. I see him as the young man in the photograph that had just fallen in love with my sister. He'd just gotten out of the Navy. And I believe it was Navy, yeah. And Bill McMahon got out of the Navy and fell in love with Marie. And so that's her twin. But he's enjoying his life. Now, we all saw... What's the name of that? Contact? We all saw Contact. You saw it too? We all saw Contact the other night. And in Contact, what did she see? She saw her father who died when she was 9. And he looked exactly the same, because that's the picture she has of him. She doesn't think of him any different than that. And she saw him. And what did he say? He said, we had to create this illusion for you so that it could be acceptable to you. Now that you know you can come to this sort of a place, now that you know in space terminology you can arrive here, and now that you know that we are sending you signals and that we are sending you important information, now pay attention to the information. Now what is the information going to be? The information is going to be yourself and have fun. Don't live your life for anybody else. Don't go around the world trying to make it better. Just make yourself the finest, most wonderful being you can possibly do, and see the rest of the world enjoying life just like you do, Like I said to all of you so many times, I cannot envision how any one of you could not have had all the experiences I have in my life, that you could not have had all of the people in your world like I have in my life, and that you are one with me. We're one. I can't imagine that. But then sometimes you tell me you didn't know these people. And so I have to come to the conclusion that we were not as much one as I would have liked to believe. Now, what about death? What about death? If we choose to die, if we choose to go, what about that? What's going to happen? What is going to take place in our life? Is it like diving into a cold pool of water and the shock gets you at first and then after that you feel just wonderful? Or what is death like? Well, death is like none of those things. Death is like the most simple, easy transition from one dimension to another. You are going to live many dimensions. You already have lived many dimensions. You have lived many dimensions, perhaps on other planets, perhaps in other galaxies, perhaps in other universes. But you chose this one this time. You chose this one because it looked like fun. It looked like it's going to be very exciting. Now, you may choose to stay. You may choose to die and stay. You know, you may choose to drop off your body and pick up another one right away. Some people do that. You can have any choice you want. And you can have a whole and perfect body for your entire life, or you can have problems. That's up to you, too. Some people choose to have a problem, like be born with quadriplegic, where you have no legs or arms. I mean, what a heck of a way to handle yourself. And then they take up painting with their mouth, with a stick in their mouth, and a paintbrush, and they do whatever. And, hey, what is the only thing that you can be in charge of other than whatever else you want to do? But when you come here with whatever you have, you don't remember that you chose to do it. Now, what is it that you have? What is the tool you have to work with that makes everything okay? Heinz, what is it?
My mind.
What is it, Anita?
Using the law of cause and effect.
What is it?
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 The cause and motion.
No, try it. You don't have to say what they say if you don't want to. That's what you're saying? What do you say?
Law of cause and effect, my thought.
The big A is what it is.
Attitude.
It's your attitude about the experience you have. The law of cause and effect is already done. You have already put it in effect. You have come here, now you're quadriplegic. Now you're perfect. Oh, that is the hardest one. If you are absolutely perfect, because then you look around yourself and you see the rest of the world, and if you don't see them through perfect eyes, ooh, that is tough. That is really tough. But if you have the right attitude about yourself, be yourself and have fun, live your life in perfect harmony, do everything wonderfully, beautifully, perfectly for yourself alone, and not think a thing about anything else. You've got everything put together. The big A, it's in your mind, it's true. It is the law of cause and effect at work, true. But the big A, the attitude about whatever it is you're experiencing, that's the only thing that matters. Do you understand? That's the only thing that matters. So, here comes Mr. Rich. He's born to a rich father in a rich household, and he's got billions, not just millions, but billions. And, you know, there's nothing he could want that he could not buy if he chose, except for a few little commodities. But basically, even eternal life he could buy. He could buy that. He could create a company around him, a company of, let's say, 100 people. And he could have these people go to a special school where these people learn the mantra. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit. That's all they know. That's all they know. That's all they know. And then they come back into his presence, these 100 people, and surround him. They're his world. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. Everything they do is living in their eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. They are into it, and so he is into it. So he will live in his eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body, because that's all he surrounds himself with. That's all. Beings who live in their eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body, whether they do or not. They're saying it, they're saying it, they're saying it, and you can be sure they will. They do as they say it, because that's the principle. Okay, now, if you surround yourself with people who, for instance, you didn't quite do what you wanted to do. You wanted to be famous like your daddy on your own. You didn't want to work on it, on your daddy's money. You wished that you, your daddy hadn't given you the money because you're a genius and you'd like to have developed your own billions, you know. Go for it. Develop your own billions. It's nice to have billions to work with while you're developing your billions, you know, because then you could get all of the equipment and all. Mark would love to have a billion because it would give Mark an opportunity to buy the software. Mark would never stop designing. He would never stop creating engines and airplanes and things like that. My son would never give up on any of that stuff because he loves it. Now, what about you? What's your love? If you were to give Mark lots of money, he would just tell his wife, spend it, you know, and then he would buy the equipment he wanted, and he'd buy a nice air-conditioned office to work in. He's learned to handle that now, and he would do a few other things, and it'd be wonderful. But you see, anyone who is a genius and creative and doesn't let money stifle them, they want to just be a playboy after they get all that money, just go out and blow it, you know. You can never blow it. $2 billion. There's just no way, unless you buy a few nations and stuff like that, you know. But great, huh? So you see, the attitude, whatever the attitude is. Now, what are you surrounding yourself with in this dimension? How long did it take you to come here to the university? How long did it take you to become aware of who we are? And how long did you decide to stay here? Did you decide to stay here until you had accomplished your goal? Or did you decide to leave? I'm not talking about your decision, but she's going to be leaving on Tuesday to go to Europe and be our emissary, our monk at large over there, and have fun. And so, she's going because she wants to play the game with what she's learned, and that's beautiful. Some people go because they head up to here with me, you know, or with the teachings or with the philosophy, or not really the teachings. No one has ever complained about the teachings or the philosophy, but what they complain about is the discipline to get here. They say, I want to be a human being. I want to have parties. I want to go out and dancing, and I want to go do this and go to that. And I say, hey, well, we don't mind dancing here, you know. We don't mind parties here. We have a party at the drop of a hat, you know. And that's just fine, too. But we have discipline here. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I am transfigured. I express my original purity and integrity. These are the things that we do, and these are the things that we say. And how can you come to me and tell me you have a problem? How can you come to me and tell me that somebody's not doing something right or somebody's making you unhappy? And hey, I don't see that. You may tell me anything you like, but I don't see it because I look right through you and see your divinity and see your wholeness and your perfection. Do you mind?
Go for it.
Go for it. But see, that's what it is, right? And you wouldn't want it any other way. You wouldn't want it any other way because that's the purity, that's the perfection, that's the right action, that's the truth. That's what this is all about. That's what life is all about, being yourself and having fun, having the right attitude. Putting the right causes in motion is true, something beneficial to you. But with the right attitude, you could not put any other cause in motion than a beneficial cause to you. So, hip, bon voyage. I don't know how the telephone system is over in your next dimension, but give us a ring and let us know how you're doing. You know, what life's like over there. We haven't really had people that we could contact who have taken the journey. A few will go to the door and they'll say, I see a bright light and I see the tunnel and I see this. Or I talk to my mom and she says, it's not time yet for you to come, you know. And she didn't tell me what it is I'm coming to. I said, Mom, what's it all about? What did you do? Mom, hey, Mom. You know, she disappears. That's not her message. It's not for us to go probing into the future. It's not for us to probe into the past. It's for us to probe into the present, to live so beautifully right now. Every dream, every desire, every goal, every wish, every thought, every word that we can imagine right now, and have fun and be yourself. If you were hearing what your mom says, well, the next dimension is like so and so and so, you say, oh, I don't know if I'd like that. You mean, it's like Bill Gates' visit to hell, you know? You heard the story of Bill Gates when he died. He didn't die, of course, but when Bill Gates died, he went to heaven. And St. Peter said, okay, boy, where do you want to go, heaven or hell? I got a choice. Sure, everyone does. Well, I'd like to see each one first. Okay, no problem. So he took them to hell. And in hell, they were just having a ball. They were just having a ball. Everything worked perfectly. Everything functioned perfectly. Food galore, women galore, life galore, men galore, everything. Perfect, perfect, perfect. And he says, hey, that's very nice. What is heaven like? And then in heaven, they were playing their guitars and their fiddles and their harps and singing hallelujah songs. And he says, that's not really my thing, you know. And, of course, St. Peter said, you want hell? Yes, I do. So St. Peter took him down to hell, and in hell, it was now hell, because everything didn't work. Nothing functioned right. And Bill said to St. Peter, what's going on here? Everything's so beautiful. Oh, no, it's just one of your, what do they call it, your beta editions of your Microsoft. Yeah, Word, you know. It's a beta edition that never works perfectly in the beginning, you know, and everyone's tested. And so we give you a little of your own medicine. And it's a humorous point, but it's true. What are we doing with our life? Could Bill Gates have made heaven out of heaven? Certainly. He could have given everybody a computer up there. You know, he was rich enough, he could have done that. And he could have given everybody the beta edition, you know, and they could improve on it. But down in hell, all they did was just, pull the hair out. Nobody knew how to do anything, because everything worked perfect, and they didn't have to know how. So, I would just leave heaven and hell alone for now, and live in paradise here on earth. You can call it heaven, if you will. And live in paradise here on earth, and not live in the past, which is hell. Because you got to remodel the past. There are so many things in the past that weren't exactly to your pleasure. So many things in the past that weren't exactly to your liking. Even your mom and dad, you'd remodel them too, I'm sure, in light of your modern attitudes today. But enough of that. You are in charge. You are in charge of your life. You are in charge of your life, and you are in charge of your death. You are in charge of moving to the next dimension or not, whenever you choose. You're in charge to take your body with you or not, whatever you choose. There are billions of people since the beginning of time who have taken their bodies with them and have been missing people on the missing people agenda, and nobody knows where they are. Oh, true, some of the missing people are somewhere else and maybe incognito, but basically, these are ascended beings, and you don't know them. You don't know the ascended being next door. You don't know the ascended being you're standing with in the supermarket. You don't know. Did you see I Am Sam, is it? Did you see I Am Sam? Well, I Am Sam is a retired young man who some street lady wanted a place to stay, and so he said, you can sleep in my bed. And he didn't know anything about it. He had the mentality of a seven-year-old. And so she taught him how to have sex, and then she had a baby. And she had a baby and went to the hospital, and after the baby, then she said, no, blah, blah, blah. And they went to the bus, and he carried the baby, and she disappeared in the crowd saying, I don't want anything more to do with you or the baby or anything ever. And she disappeared. And then he did a spectacular job of being father, mother for the child, because he was fabulous as a person. He was untouched by what the world thought about him. And he was just a marvelous being, just a fabulous, spiritually illumined being. and he had the age of a 7-year-old. And yet he had the mind that could think in such maturity that it was amazing. But you say he was limited as a 7-year-old? No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. We were limited as we watched and tried to have him do the characteristic things of people in society. Be quiet. Don't be so loud. You know, don't stand up for your opinions. Don't stand up for your... And he changed the lives of several very significant people, very powerfully. And yet, that wasn't his intention. It was just through his caring and him being himself, always being honest. That was his integrity, and he was wonderful. So, you, with your attitude, live forever, and you do. You live on many dimensions, but there's no reason you can't live a thousand years right here where we are. There's no reason why not. So, why not put that cause in motion? I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body, here and now, and through this life experience, and through all my life experiences, because I plan to have lots of them and have a good time having them. So, my friends, I love you very much, and have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you.